dig into current investment strategies, the latest trends, and new developments in the closed-end fund industry at the Active Investment Company Alliance's annual roundtable. The event, now in its sixth year, is Wednesday, November 13th in New York City, and will combine informative panels, engaging speakers, and valuable networking opportunities with leaders in closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies. AICA events are known for their high-quality, advisor-centric content and for enabling meaningful discussion and interaction with the top minds in closed-end funds. Advisors can get 7 CE credits for attending. Go to AICAlliance.org/events to get complete details and to see the full schedule. And through Halloween night, use the code Navigator30 for a 30% discount on registration costs.
Sean Feely, Portfolio Manager for the U.S. High Yield Investments Group at Barings, is here. We're looking at what the shifting interest rate environment means for the global high yield market. This is The Navigator. Welcome to The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization representing the entire closed-end fund business, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, The Navigator will point you in the right direction. And today, we are looking in the direction of high yield investments because we're joined by Sean Feely. He's part of the U.S. High Yield Investment Group at Barings, which means that, among other things, he's a portfolio manager on the firm's closed-end funds. That's Barings Global Short Duration High Yield, Barings Participation Investors, and Barings Corporate Investors. Their ticker symbols are BGH, MPV, and MCI, respectively, and you can learn more about the firm and its funds at Barings.com. To learn more generally about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, visit AICAlliance.org. That's the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. Sean Feely, welcome to The Navigator.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
So we have obviously seen rate cuts, and as recently as a week ago, we got a new read on inflation, which seems to suggest that we're actually going to see a rate-cutting cycle because there will be multiple. What does that shifting interest rate environment do for global high yield investments? What are you seeing happening in this environment for global high yield?
Yeah, I would say that the bulk of the interest rate adjustments is going to be at the short end. So the long end, you should still expect to see treasury yields 3.5% to 4%, which means as the market refinances short-term debt, coupons will go higher, which makes high yield more attractive. Typically, coupons are yields of 7% or better. The market performs pretty well.
One of the things that didn't happen when rates went up that we normally would expect is that we didn't see some sort of rash of defaults. We didn't see a lot of change on the default level. And now we're going to see interest rates come down. So in the high yield market, anybody who was on the verge of default getting a bit of a reprieve. Is this going to make high yield that much safer and or more attractive as rates come down?
It should make it more attractive because many of the companies in the high yield market have floating rate debt outstanding, so their interest costs will go down. So that'll increase their ability to service the debt. But also keep in mind that many of the companies that are in high yield have already been grappling with the expectation of a recession. And so they've been managing their balance sheets pretty conservatively. Leverage levels are low. Credit quality is at an all-time high. Over 50% of the market is BB rated. But also, because of that mindset, default rates have been coming down, and we don't expect default rates to move back up meaningfully anytime soon.
That's interesting to me. Some folks that I've talked to who have said they thought there might be a bit of a hangover, that in other words, when rates came down, those corporations that had been hanging on might be exhausted and it might be too late. In other words, they would feel the effects of the Fed having waited this long. You don't think that there's going to be any sort of debt hangover that way for the ones that were on the edge?
I do not. I think that there's a smaller portion of the market that, whether interest rates are going lower or staying the same, they have some credit issues, but it's well known in the market. It's a small part of the market. Triple C's are now only about 10% of the market. It's one of the lowest ratios we've seen in the history of the high yield market. So, and most of those companies will have no problem getting financing. We've seen many of them do it already over the last 12, 18 months. There are certainly some distressed names. A lot of it is in media and telecom. They will figure things out one way or another. many of them do have weak balance sheets and they may have to work on a deal with creditors. But like I said, that's not a meaningfully high part of the market, and they've been struggling for years, and it's well known in the market.
Does I hear that, given everything you've said and the fact that we're at a time where the high yield portions of the market, the number of things that are below investment grade are smaller, that investment grade is the biggest it's ever been. Do we have a supply demand issue here? Or are we going to see an interesting supply demand imbalance? Because that could radically change pricing and returns, couldn't it?
That is true. Although I'll say that, you know, the duration of the market's the lowest it's been. And sometimes the effective duration of the U.S. high yield market is around 3. And if you look at the maturity wall over the next, say, 2 to 4 years, the vast majority of that is double B and single B issuers. And they will not have any meaningfully challenging issues with respect to refinancing their debt. There are some lower level triple C's that have some refinancing needs. So that will be something that the market will have to overcome. But as I said before, it's a small part of the market. Because the market is so short dated, you're seeing a lot of debt get refinanced or called. And if that is not refinanced in the high yield market, then the high yield market will shrink. But what we've seen is start to grow again after a period of shrinkage. And I think that because of that high turnover that has been happening and is expected to continue to happen, managers continue to have an abundance of cash in their funds. And it's harder and harder to reinvest that cash because everyone has cash too. And so there's a lot of competition in the bond market for deals, new issues and secondary markets. So that technical aspect should be with us for some time. Now, that could change if we see fallen angels, which we don't expect. In the investment grade market, it's a little bit different. There's a lot more supply. There are more triple Bs in the investment grade market than previously. That has actually been a good area for us to exploit because you can get spreads equivalent to double Bs with triple B rated names, and they're bigger and have more financial flexibility and better relative value.
So as we put it all together, I want you to peer into your crystal ball, which for all people in your position is somewhat murky. But what do you see happening over the next year to 2 years, given changing market conditions, the likelihood that this rate cutting cycle is going to be extended at least through next year? And is there something that investors specifically should be looking out for? Because you, as a fund manager and a portfolio manager, you have one level of concerns. But is there a place where that translates down to the end user?
If you look at the past, you know, the expectation of 200 basis points roughly of rate cuts, that level of rate cut, you know, if you look back in 2001, 2007, that has triggered a recession. That's one thing that the market is concerned about. The rates market is telling you there should be some level of recession risk built into your strategy. But if you look at how equities have performed since the Fed cut, and if you look at how commodity-centric countries' currencies have performed, they've depreciated, not appreciated, including the U.S. So that tells you that the fundamental picture is pretty good. Corporate balance sheets are really strong, bank balance sheets. So I think this situation is a little bit different than previous cycles. And I believe that we're going to be in a soft landing scenario into 2025.
Generally, we've talked high yield here, and you're part of the high yield group. The Barings Global Short Duration High Yield Fund is just one aspect of what you guys are doing. When it comes to how that fits in with what Barings does when it comes to high yield, give us an understanding just a little bit of the global view and everything you're doing beyond the fund.
It is a global strategy. So I have the ability to buy European securities, US securities, leverage loans, high yield bonds, structured product. We have strong expertise in all facets of the high yield market. And so those are really good levers to pull in different market conditions. Earlier in the year, we were investing more so in loans. Now we're emphasizing more in bonds because yields are better. Loan interest carry is supposed to go down with the move in rates. So I'd say with respect to our fund, the ability to access a wider opportunity set than just the U.S. is a huge advantage.
And are there parts of the world beyond the U.S. right now that look particularly attractive?
Well, in the case of Europe, the European market right now has a little less yield on a foreign currency adjusted basis than the U.S. It's a higher quality market. It's a shorter data market. So we've been emphasizing more opportunities in the U.S. for now, but that could change. It just depends on how these markets evolve. So right now, we favor the U.S. over other markets.
Sean, great stuff. Thanks so much for joining me on The Navigator to talk about it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yeah, I'm Chuck Jaffe, and I'd love it if you check out my show on your favorite podcast app or by going to moneylifeshow.com. To learn more about closed-end funds, interval funds, and business development companies, go to AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, Sean Feely. He's part of the U.S. High Yield Investment Group at Barings, a portfolio manager on Barings Global Short Duration High Yield, Barings Participation Investors, and Barings Corporate Investors. Their ticker symbols are BGH, MPV, and MCI, respectively. And you can learn more about the firm and its funds at Barings, B-A-R-I-N-G-S, Barings.com. The Navigator podcast is new every Friday. Make sure you don't miss an episode by subscribing or following along on your favorite podcast app. And if you like us, leave a review and tell your friends, because that stuff really helps. We'll be back with more closed-end fund fun next week. And until then, happy investing.